It's a great pleasure to introduce you, my friend Corey. Thank you, Bill. My name is Corey. I'm an alcoholic. You know, first and foremost, I want to say happy Mother's Day. Tell your mothers out there, and you know, it's truly amazing to be an addict and alcoholic. You know, my sobriety date is May 7th, 2012, is when I entered the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous for the second time. It's not my first time in sobriety. I had to go out and do some more research, and I stayed out for about, I don't know, maybe 2 years or more, maybe longer. I started drinking at a young age. I had my first drink around 9. And my stepdad said I was becoming a man. He gave me my first bottle of Budweiser. And from there, I liked the effects of drinking. So I drank with my cousins. We drank Zimas. Then as soon as we got done drinking those, my cousin started giving me other stuff to drink, like Cisco and other forms of hard alcohol. Then I started really feeling good, you know. And at that time, alcohol wasn't a problem and shit. You know, I really was enjoying what I was doing. You know, I was enjoying drinking. I was enjoying you know, just everything that was going on. I wasn't really getting in trouble yet. I was still in school, still doing, you know, I really loved going to school because I loved learning. That was the only time I got to go play outside because my mom, she wasn't an alcoholic, she was an addict. So every time I got in trouble, I'd get in trouble a lot, right? And my mom would always punish me. You're grounded. You can't go outside. Blah, 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 blah. So I'd figure a way how to get outside. You know, so I'd do some chores or clean the house or go to school. anything to get away from mom, you know. And for the longest time, you know, and my mom was here today, she'd tell you I don't love her, but you know, we had that love and hate relationship. Because she's basically all I had. She's passed away now. She's been done passed away for, I want to say, maybe 3 or 4 years now that she's been out of my life. But, you know, she's definitely in a better place. You know, I really enjoyed drinking a lot. You know, I was one of those blackout drinkers. I'd drink and blackout. And then wherever I ended up, that's where I was at. If I came into another drink or drug, I was a big drug addict too. I was really bad on drugs. Crystal meth, crack, coke, crank, all those drugs that you can smoke. I did them, all the pills that you could take. I did those too. Unfortunately, I did get locked up I got locked up a couple times. One time I got locked up for hitting my mom, which I wasn't too proud of. Another time I got locked up for being drunk in public. I got locked up in Malil for being drunk in public, actually. They locked me up and I thought they were going to let me out, but instead they sent me to 500 Union Street in Fairfield. And I spent a little time in Fairfield. And then I went to Clay Bank, spent a little time in Clay Bank. Then I got out and did some traveling and went to San Luis Obispo for a little bit and did some time down there. The conviction rate, like 96% conviction rate down in San Luis Obispo. I was drunk and loaded, out on the streets, fell asleep, and the cops rolled up on me and had some meat in my pocket, some drink in my cup, and they locked me up, and I spent some time in jail for out there in San Luis Obispo. And then I ended up selling this car I had, a car, truck, Blazer, whatever you want to call it. I ended up selling it, but what I didn't do is I didn't take it out of my name. And it was funny because when I didn't take it out of my name, this person, whoever was driving my car, was committing a bunch of crimes, so I had to do some time for that too, because I couldn't prove that it wasn't me. And so I did some time in jail then too. So, you know, I was locked up for quite some time. I didn't like it. So I figured I wasn't going to go back to jail, because jail is not the place I want to be. You know, I just wanted to get back out of jail and start drinking again. You know, that's what I did. I got back out of jail and I started drinking, and I drank for a long time. I drank in San Luis Obispo. I drank in Colorado. I actually lived in Colorado for quite some time. Then my parents, we moved from California to Colorado. My mom lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma for a little bit. I got to stay with her there for a little bit before I moved back out here to California. So I've done a lot of moving around. And everywhere I went, I always drank alcohol and did drugs. And lived I guess, what you want to call it, party life. And I really didn't have a care in the world. You know, I was hoping to die from it. And you know, I was hoping to die an addict, because I really didn't have nothing going for myself. I was sucked up, some punk little kid. I really didn't have any care in the world. I really didn't care about myself. Didn't care about anybody else. If you weren't putting money in my pockets, if you weren't paying my bills, you know, you really didn't have nothing to tell me. You know, and something had changed. You know, I was living in Vallejo. I called her my grandma, but she wasn't really my grandma. But I was living in Vallejo, and a friend of mine said, you know, if you get done drinking that beer you had, I'll take you to a party and I'll buy you dinner. I should know something was up at that time, but I did put two and two together. So I finished drinking my alcohol, and I went to this party, and it was a recovery party. Unfortunately, that day I got a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was actually that book right there. And they handed me a book and they handed me a card, and they said, yeah, if you have a problem with your drinking, you can help me. I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm not going to read that book because I don't have a problem with drinking. So they can go shove it, you know. And eventually I made it to the room for Alcoholics Anonymous. I started listening to people in meetings, and people started telling me that they're going to love me until I love myself. I'm thinking to myself that these guys are weird. They don't know me. They want to pat me on the back. They're smiling and laughing like they understood me. And I thought they were just weird because, you know, they were living a quality of life that I can only dream of. You know, and I was like thinking to myself, I wonder if these people are really telling me the truth. I wonder if they're really clean and sober. I wonder if they're really doing what they said they're doing. You know, they said, I'll tell you what, Corey, give yourself 90 days, 3 months. If you don't like the way your life is headed in 3 months, I guess your misery is refunded at any liquor store, any dope man's house, any drug dealer. You know, your misery is refunded at any given time. If you don't like the way your life is going, you might guess, go right back to where you were at, back in jail or back on the streets, or not knowing where your next meal is going to come from, not knowing where everything's at. And I remember giving my cell phone to dope man, because I didn't need my cell phone no more. I didn't need anything. I just needed my drugs and my alcohol. That's pretty much all I needed. You know, I was fortunate enough to graduate high school. I was fortunate enough to not do too much damage while I was in my addiction, but I done enough to where I knew that if I didn't change some things, I was going to get locked up for a long period of time. And I did definitely want to get locked up, so I ended up getting in the room of sobriety, in the rooms of recovery. I stayed clean sober for about a year and a half until I ended up relapsing. And then I stayed out, like I said, I stayed out for about 2 years or maybe longer, I don't know how long I stayed out, but I stayed out there for quite some time. And then I came back into the rooms again, of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, okay, well, it's time for me to buckle down and really take this seriously, because, I had gotten into some more trouble. And, so I got a sponsor, and I started opening up to the sponsors. One of my deepest, darkest secrets I was going to keep to the grave is about when I was younger, I got sexually molested by another individual. I was ashamed. I felt guilty. I felt less than. And my sponsor says, well, you have to forgive that person in order for you to move on with the rest of your sense. I said, so how do you forgive a person that does something like that to you? He says, you know what, I don't know, but you know, what I do know is that if you want God to forgive you for your transgressions, you have to forgive those who have transgressed against you, and that made perfect sense. So I forgave that person, because I didn't, I don't have a heaven or hell to put a person in, so I don't want to judge a person by their actions, and I don't have to deal with that no more. They have to deal with that, so yeah. Because I've changed my life one day at a time through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was talking to my honey the other day. I said, I need to start stepping up my program. I need to start stepping up and doing more meetings and sponsoring more people through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I got some sponsees back in Vallejo who got, I got one sponsee that's like about 5 years. I got another one who has like 2 years. And I have a lot of sponsees that want me to be their sponsor, and I give them assignments and stuff like that, but they did that 1-2 shuffle. I did that 4-step, and they didn't. They buckled at that 4-step, because that's where I buckled at. I buckled at the 4-step, so that my sponsor said, well, we're not going to leave this room until that 4-step is done. But I'm glad that he did that with me, because I don't think I'd be able to be the man who I am today if I hadn't been for my sponsor saving me when I didn't know that life was worthwhile. And, I still talk to my sponsor to this day. I don't know where my life would be if it hadn't been for him. If it hadn't been for him guiding me through the Big Book and taking me through the steps of me giving my life to God. Actually being a participant in this thing that they call Sobriety Day. And, I want to say I don't have no fears, but I have tons of fears. Tons of fears today. And they say fear and faith can't exist. Well, in my world, it does. But I have stronger faith in God than I do in whatever I'm afraid of, because as soon as I face my fears head on, then I know that that everything's going to be okay. As long as I don't drink, and as long as I don't use, everything's going to be okay, no matter what I'm trying to face. And, and when Bill asked me to speak here, I was thinking about what I'm going to share and what I'm going to say. And I know I'm going all over the map, because there's so much running through my head. But I do know that if it hadn't been for the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and people that encouraged me to read and write and spell, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. When I first started at the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't have a full-time job. I didn't have a driver's license. I didn't have a truck. I graduated from high school. And that was about the only thing I had done good for myself, was graduate from high school. I had nothing else going for myself. But I graduated from special ed because they just said I learned slower than others. And that may be the case, but I'm pretty sure if you met me on the streets, you wouldn't think so because of the way I carry myself, probably. But you know what, I do know that I have a passion for the program. I have a passion to help people through that book. I have a passion to help people stay clean and sober on a daily basis. I have my information written down for for my Zoom ID and the meetings I do on Sunday mornings. I do a meeting on Sunday mornings on Zoom, but I didn't bring the information. I'm going to take the bill next time, and maybe you can put it in the chat for you guys and give it to you guys so you guys can get my meeting on Zoom, because I'm going to try to come to more meetings. Well, I'm not going to try, because if I say I'm going to try, my sponsor said that's the least form of commitment that you can do is try. So I'm not going to try. I'm going to start coming to more meetings, because when I put it out there, then that holds me accountable. And I have to hold myself accountable today, because if I don't, then I'm just going to end up telling myself it's okay not to hold myself accountable. And that's not what I want to do. I want to be accountable for my actions. So yeah, I have to step up and continue, keep going to try to go to more meetings, go to more meetings, maybe take the service commitments. Because since I've been sober, I haven't had a commitment. And usually if I'm in play on, I have a commitment. As soon as I hit 6 months, I have a commitment. I was sharing meetings. I have a commitment on Zoom. But it's not the same as having a live commitment, actually helping other alcoholics stay sober. When I was in Vallejo, I was doing detox. Fresh alcoholics, fresh off the street, man. People said they're shaking like that because they need that next drink. And I know what it was like to need that next drink. I know what it was like to shake to get that next hit, fix, or whatever the case may be. And see, I was nothing but a liar, a cheat, and a thief. That's all I was. And today, you know, I practice on not trying to be a liar. Or I shouldn't say trying. I practice not being a cheat, a thief, or a liar, because nothing good comes of it, you know. And it's just more hurt, disappointment, and a failure today. And you know, I don't want to fail in this game of life. But I know that, you know, staying sober is one of the best things I could ever done for myself. Going through the book with somebody was one of the best things I could ever do for myself. And ordinarily, for me to stay clean and sober, you know, I had to work those steps. I had to get a sponsor. I had to be willing to do things that I wasn't willing to do before. And I had to be honest, open-minded, and willing. That's what my sponsor says. Honest, open-minded, and willing. And to trust in this faith that we call sobriety. And I know it's weird talking to another man about your actions and transgressions. And, you know, that was one of my biggest fears, was to open up to another guy and tell a guy about my feelings, you know. It was easier telling girls about my feelings than it was telling a guy about my feelings. Because the girls be like, oh, it's okay. A guy just say, shut up and suck it up, you know. That's what my sponsor's saying. Suck it up and you know, own up to your side of the street. What you so scared of? You wasn't scared. I wasn't scared when I was getting drunk and loaded. I had no fear then, right? But all of a sudden, when I get a recovery, I want to have some fear. Because if you truly found out who I was, you might not like me. But you know, if I look in the mirror, if I found out who I was, I probably wouldn't like me. So you know, today I actually love myself today more than I ever did. And you know, I really couldn't have done it without the one called Alcoholics Anonymous. I really couldn't have done it without a sponsor or my sponsors or with anybody that, you know, is involved in the program. My biggest addiction today was food. That's my biggest addiction, is food today. I love to eat some food. I love to cook food. That's my favorite thing to do, is I cook. When I'm at home, I'm making pancakes and chicken, all kinds of stuff. I just made pancakes and bacon this morning for my honey. I made her some pancakes and some bacon. And then, you know, it all depends if my mom is cooking dinner or she's cooking dinner. So, you know, it's a team effort. I kind of done it without her either. You know, she played a big part in my sobriety too. So, you know, I'm truly grateful one day at a time. And if you're new, you know, the best advice I can give you is to stick and stay, get a sponsor, work the steps, give yourself 90 days. Because, you know, this journey that you're on is definitely worth a great run. You know, you're going to experience things that you never experienced. You're going to meet people that you never thought you'd meet. You're going to see people that you never thought you'd see. Like, I've been to so many meetings from here to San Rafael and Oakland, and Alameda. I've been to meetings in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I've been to meetings in Denver, Colorado. I've been to lots of meetings. And no matter where I'm at, there I am. And no matter where I go, that's where I'm going to find myself. And whenever somebody like Bill asks me to be a service, you know, that's my sponsor telling me, you know what you got to do? It's time to suit up and show up, because that's what time it is. You know? And, so, yeah, thank you for letting me share, Bill.
Right on, Claire. So, Corey likes to cook.
Right, come over.
I think we know how we can use that.
So there's a few minutes left. I thought it might be a good idea to maybe just ask a couple questions.
Sure.
So, you mentioned that you were introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous, but you weren't quite ready to quit drinking and partying, right? And so you ended up getting loaded again, and then you came back. Mm-hmm. Is that, when you came back, is that the first time that you found a sponsor?
No.
You had a sponsor before.
Yeah.
The steps. You didn't work the steps. Did you end up working with the same sponsor when you came back the second time, or did you get a different sponsor?
I got a different
sponsor. You got a different sponsor. And how did you find that sponsor?
I found that sponsor by listening to a story. I liked what he had to say. I liked what he had, the kind of life he was living. I knew that he wasn't going to let me sugarcoat it. He was going to hold me more accountable to my steps. He was going to hold me more accountable to my program and be more on top of me, and not let me try to wiggle my way out or say, oh, I don't think I can do it this time. And it's like, no. If I'm going to take my time, 1 hour out of my day, to read the book, do some steps, then you need to take that same time out of your day. Because how much time out of your day did you drink out of your day? Well, I drank all day long. So you drank all day long, so what's 1 hour out of your recovery? What's 1 hour out of your life to help save your life? So that rang a bell for me.
So you I'm assuming you might have met at a meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went to a meeting, you saw this guy, you heard what he said, you said, that guy sounds like he's got something interesting going on, and he probably will hold me accountable.
Yes.
Is what you thought.
Yeah.
Okay, and that worked out, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And what did the sponsor, you mentioned that he took you through the steps. How did he do that? What did that look like?
Well, first, you know, I had to admit, that was the powers over alcohol, and that my life was becoming manageable. And I said, well, how do you do that? And he said, well, you have to go home and read the first 164 pages out of that big book. And then once you get done reading the first 164 pages out of that big book, then you come back to me and we're going to write on paper about what you read about and your steps. How do you actually turn your life over to the care of God as you understand? And I said, huh. That's a good question. How do I turn myself over to the care of God and understand Him? I can be less selfish, more honest, less self-seeking, more giving, more understanding, more helpful in my daily activities. Not trying to always think about, okay, what am I going to get out of this? Am I helping? So, yeah.
So, we were talking earlier before the meeting, and you mentioned something to me. I think what you just did was kind of skipped fast forward a little bit. What I'm talking about is you said when you first got here, you didn't think that you could read. So if somebody just told you read 164 pages and you think you can't read, so how did you work through that?
I read a paragraph at a time.
You read a paragraph at a time?
Yeah. Okay. It was a slow process, but I started reading a paragraph out at a time. And then I started started singing it in. I started sounding out words. And if I had trouble spelling them, he said, just write it down anyways. We're going to go over it together. And then that's what we did. We went over it together.
Okay, so you talked about finding what it meant for you to be powerless over alcohol. And you didn't specifically say this, but I'm going to guess that you probably also, in your own words, found out what it looked like to have unmanageability or to not be able to manage your own life. That you defined that for yourself, right?
Basically, going to jail, getting in the fights. How do you say it? I don't know how to say it. And indispensable demoralization. You know, reaching. I had to reach my bottom. What was my bottom? You know, how do I know that I had enough? How do I know that, you know, I'm gonna swear off alcohol, and this is it? You know, one, I got tired of living the way I was living. Two, I got tired of going to jail. Three, I got, you know, I just want to change my life for the better, you know. And the only way I was going to do that is by not drinking, not using drugs, working the steps, becoming a better man, because how would I want to be treated today if I wasn't an addict and an alcoholic? I want to be treated like a normal human being, and well, how does a normal human being be treated until I treat somebody else like a normal human being?
And were you aware of, like if Mike was your first, or your sponsor that you have now that just took you to the study, when he first asked you what it meant to you to be powerless over alcohol or to have an unmanaged life, did you know? Or how did you come to know what that meant for you?
Well, I had to think about, you know, where my life was going, where I was heading. You know, if I really liked the things that were going on in my life, if I liked that misery that came of it, you know, then he said, you're more than willing to walk out and not work these steps. You're more than willing to go back to the ways you were living life if you like it so much. But if you're willing to change, if you're willing to let all that go, you have to get rid of your playground, your playmates, and everything that you basically knew in order to change your lives, you have to give up everything.
I know it's been 10 years. That's actually a long time.
Yeah.
It's a long time. So did you have to figure all that out yourself, or did you maybe learn some of that by conversation or by writing or by reading?
I learned it through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I learned it by sponsoring people.
Okay.
Actually by sponsoring people, but actually by listening to someone else's four-step and trying to help them better their lives, by trying to help them see, okay, I had a sponsor that had anger management problems. So I said, so how are we going to change your anger management problem? What are we going to do different and not for you, in order for you not to lose your anger? Mm-hmm. And then we worked on that.
So you mentioned getting into sponsorship. So how long were you sober when you first started to sponsor someone?
I want to say about a year and a half.
A year and a half. And had you gone through all 12 steps at that time, or some portion?
How was that? About step six.
Step six, okay.
Before I started sponsoring people.
Okay.
And my sponsor says, you're more capable of helping somebody with the big book, because he knew by me sponsoring somebody, I'd have to get back in that book. Mm-hmm. And by getting back in the book is where it's at, because once you're, when you're not in that book, your self will run riot.
And when you're on self-will going right, it's a bad roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. So it took you about a year and a half. You got into about step six, and it seems like you kind of started to coast a little bit.
Stay stagnant.
And you say so you got into helping other people.
Yeah.
And then what happened? How long did it take you to get through all 12 steps?
It took me about another 3 more months to get through.
Just 3 more?
Yeah.
That's pretty quick, right?
Well, you know, if you're serious, then you're going to want to get through them.
Well, you're never actually through them, sorry.
You're never actually through the step, because once you take somebody through the steps, you're going through them again.
So So you've been through the steps more than one time.
Yes.
And I don't want to lead you. I'm going to lead the witness here. He's talked about you've had an experience with the steps while you're guiding someone else through. So you have your own experience with the steps again, right, while you're guiding someone else through the steps.
Right.
Awesome. Okay. You guys have any questions for Corey?
The Zoom meeting that you, I found two in Vallejo in the morning, 6:30 and 7.
Yeah, it's from 7 to 8, sorry.
Okay.
I'll put yours in the chat.
Thank you. Cool.
Thanks, David. Anybody else have any questions for Corey?
Say no one at all.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Corey.
All right. So,